Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and please tell us where you're from. And if you're enjoying the ad-free show, please consider supporting it. You can go to patreon.com/verypinkknits for more information. And our sponsor, our yarn sponsor is Turtle Pearl, having a hard time with words today. And we have a coupon code if you want to shop for self-striping sock yarns. Just check the show notes for the coupon code. And speaking of Turtle Pearl, this is episode 201, and it comes out on Wednesday for patrons and Thursday in the regular feed. And if you are a patron on Monday, October 25th, you will be in a Turtle Pearl giveaway. I'm going to pick the winner Monday morning.
Lucky you.
Hooray.
Lucky winner.
I know. I know. I'm knitting with Turtle Pearl yarn right now, as always.
Yeah, I was just pulling mine out. Sorry, I cut you off.
I've been working on samples for the next Pick a Toe, Pick a Heel sock video, and the samples are knitted out of worsted weight yarn, but I also started a sock out of Turtle Pearl, kind of, I think it's the Octopus's Garden colorway, and I didn't have time to knit on it. It was kind of like waiting for me to finish the samples to get back to it, and I started knitting on it last night. It's like, oh, this colorway is so pretty.
It is pretty. I like the turquoise. Yeah, I was just looking for yarn for the shawl, the autumn crunch shawl, and
yeah,
came across I'd bought some Christmas colors for Turtle Pearl. So I was like, oh, I got to finish my sock so I can start these and maybe have them in time for Christmas. Maybe.
There's so much pressure, so much pressure at Christmas time to get all these things done for you to like, well, you know what I'm thinking? Huh? You knit that green sweater with the beaded.
Yes.
Christmas, that's done. You don't have to worry about that this year. That's ready to wear.
It is.
That's a good thing.
I was just looking at that the other day because I was moving some stuff around, putting some summer stuff away and bringing out some warmer winter clothes and just looking at that.
Well, that's ready to go. Don't pack it in the box.
I know.
You're going to wear it again soon. You can start wearing it you can start wearing it on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay. I can wear it multiple
I'm giving you permission. Yeah, it's time. Like in the Northern Hemisphere, at least, everyone in Australia is rolling their eyes at us right now.
Right. But
in the Northern Hemisphere, it is getting chilly. And I can say that 2 days ago, I was out on the dog walk in the morning and my Whippet, who has no body fat, she was shivering because it was chilly outside. And it was that feeling of like the air felt so different. Like it wasn't humid. It wasn't hot. There was a little dry chill in the air. And it was like, I survived another Texas summer.
Don't jinx it.
Well, it does get warm every afternoon. But like this morning,
yeah,
it was 50 degrees, but still is like 50 degrees outside. So I had to turn on the heat in the house because my poor Whippet. And everyone's going to say, you need to get her a sweater. She has sweaters. She has PJs. We're not wearing those yet because it's not, she can go out in the sun and warm up or just curl up in her cave bed. It's not that important. I do want to talk about the Autumn Crunch shawl because that is the perk for brioche tier patrons. And, you know, something that is kind of, I mean, it's working out really well. I think everyone's getting their pattern. I was thinking that I was probably going to hear a lot from people like, how do I get the pattern? How do I get the pattern? But I think it's really clear that they got a notification that I posted the pattern and it's all right there. But if you have not gotten your pattern, just drop me a note and or just go to the posts on Patreon and you'll see the download. It says the title is New Perk for You. And don't forget, if you're knitting it, to post pictures to hashtag Autumn Crunch Shawl on Instagram because people want to see it. And I'm guilty of not posting my pictures to that hashtag yet. Do what I say, not as I do. But there are all kinds of perks for patrons, including bonus episodes and early access to episodes. And then we have this, you know, raffle coming up and priority in questions. And
yeah.
It's all good stuff. Yeah.
Yes. There's lots going on there. If you're not,
what else do we have going? What else do we have going on?
I don't know. Like official stuff? Because I was going to ask you a dog question.
You're going to ask me a dog question?
Like, do all dogs need sweaters? Do I need to get a sweater for my dog?
In Maine, your dog might want a sweater. Because he has kind of, this is your puppy. How old is your puppy now?
He's almost 6 months.
Okay. He has kind of light hair without an undercoat.
I guess. Like. We thought he might have an undercoat, but it doesn't seem like he does. He just has these little feathers. Like
That's what I'm picturing, feathery. Like feathers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weird dog.
It's like hair. It's almost like hair, not fur. It's weird.
But he doesn't need haircuts, right?
I don't know. Maybe. Not yet.
Well, you would know if he needed a haircut because it would just keep growing.
Yeah.
Does he shed? Does he
no,
shed?
No. Not yet. Will he shed later in his life?
So well, no, they usually they start, if they're going to need shed, they're going to start when they're puppies, and if they're going to need haircuts,
you know,
he won't be able to see.
We comb him and like nothing comes up.
Okay, he might actually be the kind of dog that needs to go to the groomer.
Yeah.
But getting back to sweaters, go to the groomer for haircuts. Getting back to sweaters, it kind of, in my opinion, depends on the dog. And I will put a link in the show notes to the Poochie Keen sweater. That it has a ton of sizes. I did a tutorial on this dog sweater from Kramer Yarns. It has a ton of sizes, pretty much every dog. Like my Basenji has really, really short hair, but he hates wearing clothes. Hmm. Can't stand it. So he doesn't wear sweaters. Dolly, Whippet, she gets really cold. She likes wearing clothes. Doesn't bother her at all. And she like gets it. Like I put a coat on her when we go out on cold morning walks. She wears jammies in the house and sweaters in the house, and it's not a problem for her. So you kind of have to, what you're going to have to do is knit a sweater or buy something and then try it on him and see how he likes it. And on a cold day, he'll probably see the benefit.
Yeah.
Especially if it's windy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then a lot of people, if they have dogs in the snow, they you can't knit these, unfortunately, but you can buy the waterproof booties because the snow, especially if it's frozen snow, it can cut their little feet.
Oh, no. So much things.
But how good are your neighbors about shoveling the sidewalk?
Oh, well, somebody comes and does it in the town, but we have
You don't have to do your own?
No, you hire somebody to do it. And then the town does it too, like for the streets.
Okay.
But I mean, we might have to shovel out our cars. I don't know, because we have a very steep driveway with cobblestones on it, so it's gonna be dicey. We're gonna have to we're gonna have to ice that a lot.
Yeah, that's dangerous, and it's probably not a great idea to park on the street if it's slick. You want your car up where it's safe.
Yeah, but then they can't plow it. So
oh gosh.
I don't know.
Okay, that's a good point.
We got lots to figure out this winter.
Yeah. I
just called the chimney sweep and we're number 37 on his list. So hopefully we can get our chimney.
37. Well, that just means if they do one a day, well,
he
you're
said
barely
3 or 4 weeks
before.
Unless he comes by my neighborhood, so
oh, okay. Well, good luck with that and with the dog thing. You just have to try a sweater on him.
Yeah.
I wonder if I have, I did a bunch of samples for that video.
Mm.
I wonder if I have any of the samples I can just send you like a half knit dog sweater.
That'd be great.
What does he weigh?
He's about 25 pounds.
Okay. He's like the size of LB. I'll check and see what I have.
He's like the size of a small border collie.
That doesn't help me.
Okay.
I have sighthounds. Okay. Let's do some questions. I'm a little bit worried about my voice giving out because ragweed allergies are really bad right now in Austin. And the past few days I've been sneezing and coughing. But I showered. I washed all the pollen off. I closed the windows. I drank a bunch of water so I won't start coughing. During this episode.
Okay. All right. You ready for a question?
I sure am. I'm always ready for a knitting question.
This is a Patreon question from Martha in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
Cuyahoga Falls?
Cuyahoga.
Cuyahoga. She wrote it out phonetically for us, which we always appreciate. Cuyahoga.
Yeah. She says that it's a Native American name for Crooked River.
Okay.
Anyway, so she's on Patreon. So, hello, ladies. I'm considering joining my first, do you call it a CAL or a K-A-L knit along?
I call it a K-A-L.
Yeah, K-A-L. And the M-K-A-L, or what's the mystery. M stand for? Oh, mystery. Shawl.
It means that, let me just back up here a little bit. A knit, why are you laughing?
Because I'm just rambling.
You're struggling with everything and you haven't even read the whole first sentence.
I don't know if my dog needs a sweater. I can't read.
Okay. I'm here to help. Okay. So a KAL is a knit along, meaning a bunch of people, you know, are online. I suppose they can do it in person too, but nobody does knit alongs in person. A bunch of people are online knitting the same thing and like sharing pictures and sharing their experience with the whole thing. And then a mystery knit along is when the designer only gives you a little bit of the pattern every week. So you don't even know what the finished knit is going to look like when it's done. You just trust this designer to take you on an interesting journey. Okay, so that's what they are. So if you want to start out with hello, ladies.
Okay. Hello, ladies. I'm considering joining my first KAL knit along, the MKAL Shallography.
It's a Stephen West pattern.
By Stephen West. There's an extra G-O in there. I was supposed to do a KAL with a friend last winter, and after the cast on and little progress, she quit and frogged her project while mine is in a bag half finished because I needed a break. It was rather large and overwhelming due to the recipe format of the pattern, and I do plan to finish it this winter. I'm curious, have either of you hosted or joined KALs or MKALs? Do you like the idea? Why or why not? Part of why I like to knit and crochet is for the community aspects, which of course have been limited in the past couple of years. And that's Martha.
Martha in Ohio.
In Ohio.
Casey, have you knit in a KAL or MKAL?
I did a mystery knit along for a cowl. And it was themed on the Handmaid's Tale. And so you bought the kit from, I think it was Jimmy Beam.
I remember. Yeah.
And then we got a little, and so it's kind of like the Autumn Crunch shawl, which is like different designs along the length of the cowl. I loved it. It was super fun.
And it was a mystery, so you didn't know what it was going to look like.
Yeah. But also I loved how she incorporated like in the Handmaid's Tale, there's the eye, which is kind of like Big Brother in a way. And so one of the patterns kind of had an eye look to it. And then there was one part that was called the wall. And so she really was creative in how she incorporated things from the story in the show into the shawl.
So it was a clever pattern. Was it by a designer that you knew before?
No, I don't even remember who it was. Let me look it up.
Okay. Because I would think that a KAL or MKAL especially would be, especially an MKAL, would be an easier thing to jump into if you have more confidence if you know the designer and you've knit their patterns before and you know that you enjoy them. Yeah. I've never hosted one, and I don't think I've never joined a KAL. I've knit the same thing as other people, like in classes that I've taught and stuff, where there are a bunch of people working on the same thing, but we didn't call it a KAL. We called it a knitting class.
But didn't you, before I joined your knitting university, I thought you guys all knit the same thing. Isn't that a knit
along? Yeah, we did.
That's not a knit
along? We did in knitting university. Well, we didn't call it that. So was it? Is it a knit along? If you don't call it a knit along?
If a tree falls in the woods, nobody calls it the knit along.
I think it's fun. And what Martha's saying here is, the community aspect of it, of everyone working on the same thing and sharing their experiences. And, you know, you can share to the group. And that's what I want to get going with the hashtag Autumn Crunch Shawl is people sharing to the group, and you get feedback and people getting excited about seeing different colors. And if somebody has a question, everybody's there to say like, oh, yeah, row 25 is this and that. It's definitely a community thing where everyone's working on the same thing together. And I would say that this sort of thing is a nice break from what being online is for the most part a lot of the time, because really everyone is just focused on the project and that's what the conversations are about, and they aren't about, you know, anything weird or ugly like a lot of conversations online.
Well, for me, as somebody who gets bored, it was nice to have the little, like, I had to work towards, I kind of had a deadline, and then I also enjoyed the changing of the pattern.
That is totally your personality. We've talked about this before, is that deadlines work for you. Mm-hmm. like that is part of your personality, is like, I need to finish this by this day, which will motivate you to want to get it done. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I looked it up. The knitter designer was Heather Boyd.
Okay. Really... We can put a link to your project.
Yeah, it's called the Yarn Maid's Tale. In the show.
Yarn Maid's Tale. That's right. That was like the last season of the show, the previous season.
Yeah, and actually my picture is featured on Ravelry as one of the featured pictures.
Hey, look at you, fancy. Nice, you are, you're famous.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Hello, I'm Debbie from Westmoreland, New York. Nowhere near the city.
Right.
I have this issue often. When I do a rib, some patterns call for you to use smaller needles. Some don't. Some call for you to bind off in pattern. Some don't. I've seen twisted rib and K1P1 or K2P2, etc. I assume the type of ribbing is just a preference in looks. My issue is that my ribbing flips up or curls. It doesn't all the time, but more than half of the time. I can't figure it out if it's me, the pattern, or a combination of both. Does binding off without being in pattern matter, or not reducing my needle size? I'm a very loose knitter and tend to have to adjust needles a couple sizes depending on yarn type to meet gauge. Someone suggested I need to try and really make an effort to knit tightly when doing my ribbing. I keep thinking that would make it worse, but I can try this. Any insight to help would be appreciated. I love listening to your podcasts. I love your videos, your dogs, quilting, and your quirky sense of humor. Thanks so much for the smiles and knowledge you've brought me over the years. Because of you, I've ventured to try many things I probably would have skipped over or not had seen, I probably would have skipped over had I not seen your pattern with video to hold my hand. Thank you for your anticipated help. P.S. I would love to see your quick knit hoodie in some toddler sizes. I get asked by all the moms whose kids have outgrown these ones that I gave to them.
Oh.
That's a good. Oh,
do we have a name? We don't have a name on this?
No, she said it at the top.
Oh, at the top, right. Debbie from
Westmoreland, New York.
Okay. Well, her first question, hello, Debbie. Thank you for the kind words. Her first question is about why ribbing is different in all kinds of patterns. And it is, for the most part, just the designer's preference for how they want that to look. But in as far as like changing needle sizes or the ribbing that's used, a lot of times, like on a sweater or something, it will be for fit. Like a sweater that fits kind of like a tunic where it's not tied around the hips with ribbing, you're not going to change needle size. You're going to have kind of a loose ribbing that just lays flat. And then something that's going to be more like a traditional sweater that fits around the hips with ribbing, that might have you go down a needle size. It really is just the preference. But it is weird that Debbie is having the issue with her ribbing curling up all the time. And it sounds like this is a consistent problem for her. And gosh, I'm trying to think of like, this is not a problem that comes up very often. I don't know that I've ever had this as a problem. A few things come to mind that, yes, and Debbie's addressed this, like knitting too tightly or out of a synthetic yarn might cause that. Too short of a ribbing section might cause that. Like it might just start to flip up at the edge of the stockinette to the ribbing. But ribbing really shouldn't curl. Like the whole point of it is to have the cuffs and the bottom of sweaters or wherever you're putting the ribbing. The whole point of ribbing, for the most part, is to have that part lay flat and not curl up. So I don't think knitting tighter is going to help. I think it's going to be more of a problem. I think she didn't say the fiber type that she's using, but I would think that synthetic fiber would have more of a chance of curling. And if you are getting curling out of a natural fiber, wool especially, that is going to block out. Do you have any input on this case?
I was thinking that it seems like she's doing it too tight if it's curling. So yeah. I agree with what you're saying.
Well, let us know, Debbie, and I'll see what I can do about putting the quick knit hoodie in bigger sizes.
Yeah, that would be great, especially for little toddlers. Okay. This is a Patreon question. Hi, Stacey and Casey. Thanks for all your wonderful knitting tutorials and advice over the years. You are my go-to source for all things knitting. What is your favorite bind off for a turtleneck on a sweater knit from the bottom up? And do you advise including any increased rows gradually as you approach the bind off row, or increasing the needle size to give the fabric just enough flare to lay flat along the base of the neck when worn, where the neck widens onto the shoulders? Thanks for any suggestions you can offer, Allison from Roswell, Georgia. Not the alien crash site, Roswell.
Different Roswell. Thank you, Allison. I'm not understanding this. Increase rows gradually as you approach the bind-off row, or increasing the needle size to give the fabric just enough flare to lay flat along the base of the neck.
So like a turtleneck, she's going to fold it over. She wants it kind of to spread out a little bit when she folds it over.
Oh, that should be addressed in the pattern.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really mess with that, because increasing, decreasing, and ribbing really changes the look of it. So that should be addressed in the pattern. So when you look at the pattern photo, just know that the way you see a turtleneck folded over. See, every time I think of turtleneck now, I think of just a crew neck, you know, just a single, not folded. Anyway, turtlenecks, I get it now. Thank you, Casey. I wouldn't mess with it. Look at the pattern photo, the way you see the fold over looking, that's how it's going to look when you're finished. And if it doesn't, you can email the pattern designer. But I would, as far as the bind off goes, and I had an answer in my head, and now that I know that it's a fold over bind off, normally I would say use a needle size two sizes bigger and bind off in pattern. That is usually what I would do for a crew neck or something that should be enough give. But since it's going to fold over, it's going to need that much more give. And so a stretchy bind off might actually be what you need there. I guess it kind of depends on just how thick the sweater is, because the thickness of the sweater is going to affect how much it needs room after it's folded over. This might be a question for the designer. This starts to get pretty deep into specifics about the pattern.
Yeah.
I personally would bind it off with a needle two sizes bigger in pattern. You know, if it's knit two, purl two, you actually work the knits and the purls while you're binding it off. But don't cut the yarn after the bind off, because try it on and see how you like that bind off. And if you don't like it, you can unravel it and do a stretchy bind off. And I'll put a link to my simple stretchy bind off in the show notes. This might be the kind of thing where it takes a couple of tries, but also email the designer and ask how she's binding off in her pattern, because she's probably already worked this out. Mm-hmm. I had a different answer until you explained to me that it's a fold over turtleneck, because that's like the definition of a turtleneck.
Okay.
One more question here.
This is from Patreon. In the episode, Casey refers to washing and conditioning a sweater. What does it mean to condition a sweater? Should I be doing this with my hand knit sweaters? Thank you, Tara from Toronto. I just meant washing it with wool wash, and some of the wool washes have lanolin in them. And right. There's one that I was Googling, because I'm almost out of all my wool wash, and there's one that has more lanolin in it than others. So if you have a pretty scratchy wool, that can add a little softness to it.
Do you know what the brand is that has more lanolin?
I put it in my Amazon cart, so hold on.
Okay.
Because it's different. It's not the usual wool wash that I use. I did look, like some of Eucalyn has some in it. But there's one, it's called Danish Woolen Delight. Oh, wait, that's the name of the company. It's called Lanolin Replacing Soap.
That's what it's called? That's what their marketing team came up with?
Lanolin Replenishing Soap. The brand is Lanacare. L-A-N-A.
So it's made for hand washing woolens, I suppose.
Specially formulated for replenishing lanolin content. Well, this is for diaper covers and other woolen items.
So okay, if you're I've never heard cloth, of that brand before.
Yeah, I think it's not American. So if it, especially if you're into cloth diapers, God bless you. But also, this can be added for those diaper covers.
Okay. All right. Well, good to know. I haven't heard of that company before. This was not an ad for them. No. We actually haven't tried their product yet, but yeah. Lanolin replacing wool soap is a good idea. And that would be considered conditioning, I suppose. Moisturizing.
It says it has 7.5% lanolin, which is a lot higher than the others. So Eucalan has some in it, but I don't know what the content is.
I wonder if Soak, because that's another big brand mm-hmm. that people use.
Yeah.
But Soak is advertised, like when I was bra shopping at Nordstrom, like they have Soak on the shelf there mm-hmm. to wash underwear yeah. and bras.
And
so it can't have lanolin in it.
Yeah. And they also, I'm falling off my chair. They also advertise like washing your bathing suit in it.
Yeah, that can't have lanolin in it. Okay. No. Well, Tara's brought up a good point here about wool soap, and I mostly just pick it for the smell because it lingers in your wash, yeah. in your woolens. Yeah.
Well, and you don't have to rinse it. That's my favorite thing about it.
Yes. No rinse is the way to go. Do you know if this stuff you're buying is no rinse?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure, right?
I don't know. You would think so with the if got it's that meant to like it, you don't want to rinse it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will get the name of that and put that in the show notes because I want to remember to look at it myself because mm-hmm. it's a new brand for me. Mm-hmm. But we have an episode here, Casey, and I made it through without allergies attacking me.
Yay.
I'm pretty proud of myself right now. All the prep work I did with washing the pollen out of my hair after the dog walk and drinking my water, it all worked.
Yes.
If people want to find you online, are you posting to Instagram again?
Yeah, I posted some things this week. It's kc.knits on Instagram. It's the best way to find
okay.
me.
Okay. Very good. And I'm Very Pink Knits on Instagram. And there's, of course, the Very Pink YouTube channel. And I don't even remember. We'll put it all in the show notes. It's always in the show notes, every single episode. But that is it for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.